Showtime's publicity for Twin Peaks: The Return, the sequel to Mark Frost and David Lynch's 1990 murder mystery soap opera, emphasizes the notion that the original was the show that changed television. This is largely true. Twin Peaks inexplicably aired on network television, ABC, a network known for the likes of Charlie's Angels and Happy Days. The closest forebear in terms of complex narration on the network was the comedy detective antics of Moonlighting. The unprecedented experimentalism of Twin Peaks, on the other hand, initiated the third golden age of network television, shows ranging from The Sopranos to Lost to Louis C.K.'s sitcom, which not coincidentally foregrounds David Lynch as a mentor who prepares the comic for taking over David Letterman's show. Showtime's marketing ignores the fact that Twin Peaks was a startling failure as a television show. Partly the result of David Lynch's surrealist tendencies, yet also due to ABC's incompetent handling of the show, by the end of its only full season, viewership had declined so severely that it was brutally and unceremoniously canceled. The sparkling pilot, shot by Lynch as a film that screened in Europe with a tight third act, in which Laura Palmer's murderer was revealed to be a grotesque drifter named Bob, aired in April 1990. Throughout the spring, Twin Peaks accumulated a rabid audience as people delighted in the show's central mystery, wrapped around quirky genre play, wildly ranging from intense drama to hilarious slapstick. At the core of this madness is FBI agent Dale Cooper, played by Kyle MacLachlan, a ridiculous figure obsessed with Tibetan Buddhism, who also just happens to be a brilliant detective. In the seventh episode, aired in May 1990, Frost and Lynch delivered the best cliffhanger since Who Shot JR? The murder of Laura Palmer went unsolved, and Agent Cooper was shot by an unknown assailant as he returned to his room at the Great Northern Hotel. The premiere of the second season the next fall was wildly anticipated. However, Frost and Lynch had something planned beyond the straightforward revelation of Laura's murderer. At the opening of the season premiere, first aired in September 1990, Agent Cooper, lying wounded on the floor of his hotel room, is visited by a cryptic giant who speaks to Cooper in riddles. This maneuver stands in stark contrast to Dallas, where the revelation of JR's assailant, his sister-in-law, Kristen Shepherd, occurred in the fourth episode of the fourth season, a tidy ending to the third season finale, the most famous cliffhanger in the history of television. For its part, Twin Peaks did not reveal Laura's murderer, her father Leland Palmer, until the ninth episode of the second season, aired in December of 1990. ABC had incompetently bumped the show in numerous weeks in October and November, resulting in a precipitous decline in viewers, as episode after episode refused to reveal the solution to the mystery. The installment in which Leland comes to realize his possession by the spirit Bob and his incestuous relationship with his daughter, Laura, is the single greatest episode in American television. In his cell, Bob forces Leland to smash his head into the cement wall repeatedly. Cooper rushes in and, in a startling turn of mood, his Tibetan mysticism turns deadly serious, empathically guiding Leland's tortured soul into the afterlife. It is a sequence that haunts me to this day. And thus, so many of the people who desperately wanted to know who killed Laura Palmer were no longer watching the show when the murderer's identity was finally revealed. Secondhand, the fact that it was her father seemed completely anticlimactic and without the emotional resonance delivered by actually watching the episode. Furthermore, Frost and Lynch seemed uninterested in the mystery. They were merely setting up the show's mythology, an eternal conflict between the white and black lodges, otherworldly locations of good and evil, populated by spirits who may or may not be extraterrestrial. In the wonderful finale of the original Twin Peaks, aired in June of 1991, Agent Cooper looks into the mirror of his hotel room bathroom, only to see the face of Killer Bob staring back at him. With the premiere of Twin Peaks: The Return, under the smokescreen of Showtime's celebration of Twin Peaks as a groundbreaking event in American television, the show's failures at keeping an audience have been replaced with the audience's fond memories of the first nine episodes of the show, dominated by a traditional murder mystery and quirky comedy. As of my writing this, the first four hourly installments of the new show have aired. Shockingly, not having learned their lesson about how American television actually works, Frost and Lynch have doubled down on what made Twin Peaks fail. And of course, as a result, they have created a show which artistically far surpasses that original entirely.